It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Everyone in the country has heard the news. Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point, ruthlessly gunned down. One of the finest men, one of the bravest men our country ever knew. Despite constant harassment in public places and nonstop death threats, he continued with his message to reintroduce our younger generations, Gen Z most specifically. He reintroduced them to conservatism and his Christian faith in God. He didn't call people names or claim they were evil simply for disagreeing with him. He said, let's talk. Let's have a dialogue. Let's listen to each other. If you think I'm wrong, tell me why I'm wrong. He defended himself with facts, and he did it in the place where open, respectful debate is supposed to flourish, the college campuses. But while that may have been their original purpose, it's not anymore. So when someone like Charlie Kirk came out to their campus, it was rare, it was different, it threatened their delicate sensibilities. And like Stephen, the first Christian martyr stoned to death for winning a debate with the governing authorities, someone decided that since people can't win an argument with Charlie Kirk, he should be killed. To be fair, there are some well-known Democrats who have denounced the violence. Nancy Pelosi said the horrific shooting today at Utah Valley University is reprehensible. Political violence has absolutely no place in our nation. Governor Gavin Newsom said the attack on Charlie Kirk is disgusting, vile, and reprehensible. In the United States of America, we must reject political violence in every form. You may remember Charlie Kirk was the first guest on Newsom's new podcast. And they did have a very respectful discussion. Kamala Harris said, let me be clear, political violence has no place in America. I condemn this act, and we must all work together to ensure this does not lead to more violence. Of course, she never condemned the George Floyd riots and burnings and people being beaten on the streets. And there were some people murdered back then. That was violence. That was a lot like political violence. Former President Obama said this kind of despicable violence has no place in our history. Chuck Schumer said there is no place in our country for political violence. But this is the same guy who said regarding Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, when it was leaked that the Supreme Court was going to rule the way he didn't want on abortion, he said in 2020, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. Yeah, he said that in 2020. In 2022, there was an attempt on Kavanaugh's life. Ladies and gentlemen, denouncing violence always sounds good, but what about words that lead to violence? And I don't mean that we should have to second guess every other word that comes out of our mouths. Opinions are going to be challenging to people. We're entitled to our opinions. I'm not talking about a free exchange of ideas protected in our Constitution. I'm not talking about exchanges of ideas which closed-minded people refuse to hear. I'm talking about calling people Nazis or calling Trump Hitler or calling all of his followers fascists or claiming that anyone who disagrees with leftist talking points is a threat to democracy. Those kinds of words inspire idiot psychopaths who want to make names for themselves, who want to go down in history as heroes. And what better way to be a hero than to come after Hitler? Who wouldn't want Hitler dead? So condemning the violence is great. Fine. How about changing the rhetoric? But the rhetoric was doubled down over the internet. Author Wahat Ali started by calling the shooting criminal and wrong, and he said it should be condemned, but he just had to add something. He added that Kirk was a horrible, hateful man who targeted marginalized groups. And then he said, "I refuse to sanitize him." Comedian John Fugelsang wrote, "Do these idiots even realize that shooting Charlie Kirk makes you a worse person than Charlie Kirk?" So it was wrong to shoot him, but he was a horrible person. Well, thank you for at least calling the shooting wrong, Fugelstein. One user on Blue Sky posted, "The person who motivated the shooting of Charlie Kirk was Charlie Kirk." Of course, blame the victim. Another wrote, "Charlie Kirk lived and died in the America that Charlie Kirk wanted to exist." Once again, his America was "let's exchange ideas. Let's agree to disagree agreeably." But this character says Charlie Kirk lived and died in the America that Charlie Kirk wanted to exist. On X, Brandy Bryant, a self-styled transgender comedian, and I don't care whether this person is transgender or not, but they are identifying themselves that way. 21,000 followers on the platform. This person posted, "Breaking: Charlie Kirk loses gun debate." And then Bryant adds, "These people openly get off talking about eradicating trans people, and y'all think I got any sympathy for them? Get the F out of here." What a swinish comment. Can you just imagine his wife hearing about that? His little girls growing up knowing people said that about her father. And by the way, it's a downright lie. He never, ever called for the eradication of trans people. He simply pointed out that men are men and women are women, something everybody knows inside, but people are afraid to say. It's the emperor's new clothes all over again. Let's be clear. The problem people had with Charlie Kirk is that they didn't agree with his ideas, or the expressing of his ideas, even if deep inside they did agree with them. It went contrary to the woke PC narrative that they'd heard all their lives. But when trying to confront him, he sensibly, logically, compassionately took their arguments apart, often with a smile, always with respect. In short, he was making too much sense. That's a whole new phenomenon at so many of our universities. A radical idea, difficult to get used to. It throws their comfortable, self-righteous universe into a tizzy, and they couldn't handle it, so they killed him. Are we surprised? Isaiah chapter 5, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And that's what's been going on lately in American history. A lot of it's been going on just in these last couple of weeks. Ironically, this assassination fits so well with other news. Here's a few you probably haven't even heard. In Ontario, a man was charged after confronting an intruder inside of his home because allegedly he used a knife to confront the intruder. And here's a headline from the New York Post. "German woman given harsher sentence than convicted rapist for calling him a disgraceful rapist pig." So the woman gets a harsher sentence than the rapist because she called him a rapist. And of course, the woman from the Ukraine, peacefully riding a train in North Carolina, a man gets up from behind her, stabs her to death with a knife. No one on the train did a thing to stop the perpetrator, probably because they were afraid they'd go to jail instead of him. Remember Penny? Brian Stelter of CNN said regarding this attack on the train, "I have to say, some of the comments around this story are baldly racist, stoking fear of African Americans because this man attacked a white woman." No, Brian, we are not concerned because a black man killed a white woman. We're concerned because a human being was killed by another human being. Just what part of that do you not understand? Some evil psychopath killed her. And we don't care what color his skin is, and we don't care what color her skin was. It is you and the mainstream media of the left that makes an issue out of race, not conservatives. Had this been a white man attacking a black person, oh, we'd see riots on the streets. It would be reported by CNN 24/7. Buildings would be getting burnt down. More calls for defunding of the police. More calls of revolving door cashless bail. And just because these incredibly stupid policies get grandfather clause into a law, that doesn't mean it's a good law. Human beings are supposed to make laws based on genuine right and wrong found in the human conscience, which comes from God. If we ignore the conscience, we can make bad ideas legal. But try explaining that to Senator Tim Kaine. According to Fox News, Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia pushed back against the opening statement of Riley Barnes, who was tapped by Trump to serve as Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor during a Senate Foreign Relations hearing Wednesday. Barnes quoted Secretary of State Marco Rubio in his opening remarks, telling lawmakers on the panel, "We are a nation founded on a powerful principle, and that powerful principle is that all men are created equal because our rights come from God, our Creator, not from our laws, not from our governments." Kaine said, and you got to hold on to your seat for this, this is chilling. This is a U.S. senator talking. This is the guy that was tapped by Hillary Clinton to be her vice presidential running mate in 2016, Kaine. He says, "The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the Creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. It's a theocratic regime that bases its rules on Sharia law and targets Sunnis, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe they understand what natural rights are from their Creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling." What's troubling to me, ladies and gentlemen, is that a U.S. senator could make such a statement. He just threw out our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." In other words, he's saying we don't care what laws King George of England is making with the Parliament. We care about genuine laws that come from God, testified in our conscience. Muslim jihadists are not calling for representative government. Jefferson was. And Muslim jihadists are not suggesting that the conscience be a basis for determining laws from God. They're claiming that the Quran be the basis. Jihadists are claiming we must live under a theocracy. That was the farthest thing from Jefferson's mind. No, as a Christian, I don't call on other human beings to live under a theocracy. And they can believe whatever they want. They can believe that the conscience came from anywhere they want. But if they wanted to be consistent, they'd have to say if God doesn't exist, then the conscience was made up. If we're really here by randomness and chance, there's no such thing as right or wrong because we're a bunch of accidents, and my accidental opinion of right or wrong is no different than your accidental opinion of right or wrong. But we don't live that way. We all pay attention to our conscience. Even when people try to do evil, they justify it and call it good because everyone knows there is such a thing as good, despite attempts to shut down ideas that are unpopular precisely because they hold up PC rhetoric to the genuine spotlight of a conscience. And we know what's right or wrong, regardless of trends or talking points or feigned values to kiss up to donors and voters. Deep inside, everyone knows right from wrong. And Charlie Kirk was trying to point this out with dialogue, a lost, forgotten art at our universities. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake, no matter how unpopular, no matter how much they shout at us or threaten us, we aren't going away. And anyone who thinks that the attempted assassination of President Trump or the successful assassination of Charlie Kirk is going to make us back down needs to think again. If you're waiting for us to capitulate, you are going to have a very long wait. Meanwhile, for those of you who do want to speak up but are frightened, have courage. That's what Charlie had, and now he's in a better place, hearing the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. God will always protect you until he decides to take you home. And in his sovereignty, that can only happen if he allows it." We all wish he hadn't allowed it in the case of Charlie Kirk, but he did for some reason, and Charlie Kirk was here just as long as God wanted him here. You will be here just as long as God wants you here. Have courage. Keep your head up high. At the end.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, tonight I also wanted to put in my opinion on the situation that occurred, unfortunately, on the 11th as well, and the 10th. There was something that happened on the 10th as well. So, obviously...
Well, yeah, the assassination was the 10th.
Yes, and then but there was another thing that happened, and then the September
11th. Oh, you're talking... Yeah, there was a school shooting in
Denver, too. There was, yeah. It was at a high school. Two students were killed in the situation. One is still in critical condition, and the other one has moved into a stable condition, luckily. And, of course, the shooter themselves is no longer here, too. Again, just another coward act. And once again, it's one of those things that feels like we are going to be talking about these kind of situations on a weekly basis, unfortunately. I heard this clip from Charlie Kirk that was very, very prophetic to me here. the person was asking about school shootings. And one of the things he mentioned was, okay, so you drive a car, right? Do you know how many deaths we have per year in a car? It's 50,000 a year. But you know what us in society have said to that? Is that we're just going to have to accept that because we still need to get to one place to another in some form or fashion. And this is the most safe way and the fastest way to get to one place or another. So same thing should go with schools here. So there's always security with guns at baseball stadiums. There's always security with guns over at airports and planes. That should be the same for our kids as well. There should be some kind of security and making sure that these kids are safe in some sort of way or fashion. And unfortunately, our society hasn't figured that part out yet.
They talk about guns, but that horrible stabbing on the train was a stabbing. It wasn't even done with a gun. So are we going to outlaw knives now too? It's the person. It's not the weapon.
Exactly. And then the person gets off scot-free because of a mental health issue, stability situation, which I get on one hand that you could do that later on as the criminology goes along with the court cases and stuff like that, because we do have those court cases where they'll say that they would like to plead insanity on certain court cases, but not right away. Not letting them go scot-free like that right away. That's just, again.
Even if they're insane, they should never walk the streets again.
Agree.
Maybe you could argue about whether to do the death penalty if they're insane. They should never again be allowed on the street. No rehabilitation, quote unquote.
Right. I don't think they do the death penalty, unfortunately, in North Carolina, as far as I know of, but I'll have to look that up.
They do it in Utah, though.
They do, yeah. So let me get to the Utah situation. I was at work at the time when this was occurring, and you were the one that broke the news to me, actually. I saw that you texted me, and I was like, Bob doesn't really text me during the week unless it's very urgent.
I heard it from Clay Davis and Buck Sexton, the guys that took over for Rush. I was listening to their show, and their show was almost over, and that news just came in.
Wow, at the very
I was on my way to a coffee shop to do some studying. So as soon as I got in there, of course, I got on my computer and started following this.
Yeah.
And at that time, he was still alive. So I wanted to get as much prayer as possible. So I just shot those texts out to everybody that I knew.
Absolutely. So I saw the news and immediately I go to social media because I'm like, there's got to be something behind this. He can't be gone right now. And sure enough, I just saw the news that he got shot so far. Then you followed up with the text saying, no, he's alive. He's getting blood
transfusions. Well, and we're all remembering Trump surviving his shooting. So I think in our minds, we're going, oh, maybe this will happen again.
Mm-hmm. First thing I did on social media, too, when I was looking at it, the first thing that popped up about it, too, was there was actual live video showing the situation of him getting shot there, too, in a very graphic detail.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But again, I don't blame social media totally on that because it's hard to filter so many videos posting in public so quickly. So I don't blame social media on that part, but it should never be seen like that for sure. So I'll get into the reactions of other people very shortly. I just wanted to do my personal reactions in this situation. So it didn't occur to me until Trump finally tweeted himself saying that Charlie Kirk has passed away.
He is the one that really broke the news of his passing.
Exactly. Yeah. Because usually it's other.
Well, Sean Hannity came on and said, I'm hearing from John Solomon that he passed away. He says, I haven't confirmed it yet, but I've known John Solomon for years. He's never been wrong. Mm-hmm. I hope he's wrong this time.
Yeah.
Then it was officially broken by Trump.
There's some other news, and I'll get to these people here later on in the show, but TMZ is usually the ones that will quickly break news of certain celebrities' deaths very, very quickly. I don't know how they get that information so quickly compared to other news sources out there sometimes. But anyway, so I saw that, and I just couldn't imagine the tragedy that was going on, not only with the people that were at the event itself, because that could have been even worse. It could have been multiple shootings or multiple people being killed at the shooting, not just Charlie for that matter, but his family as well. I couldn't imagine his wife, his children. They were so young. And this guy was only 31. He was only 2 years younger than me. That's the other shocking and really, really.
And yet, look what he accomplished. He accomplished more in his lifetime than people who live to be 80, 90 will ever accomplish in their lifetime.
Honestly, he did have a really, really bright future ahead of him for him and Turning Point as well, for that matter. It just continued to grow. And like you said,
it'll grow even more now.
For sure. I can't remember. I think his wife was the one who said this quote saying, like, even though you killed Charlie Kirk, there's going to be 1,000 more Charlie Kirks out there.
A lot of people are saying that. And she said, you evil people, you have no idea idea what you've unleashed. That's what she said.
Yeah. And sure enough, it's growing and showing right now.
It's in Star Wars when Obi-Wan says, if you kill me, I'll come back more powerful than ever.
I didn't think you would use a sci-fi quote or Star Wars quote in this situation, Bob. But yes, you're absolutely correct. And again, she was absolutely correct in this situation. If you're taking a look on social media, and again, I will point this out in the next segment shortly, but there's people that are making certain comments. And because of that, they're losing a lot of things. Their jobs, friends, family members in this situation, because they're making these comments, oh, I'm glad that Charlie Kirk died and blah, 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 and all these other horrible, horrible comments to talk about another human being for that matter.
Well, if a real evil person dies, I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating it, but people have been hearing so many lies about this person. What they're saying does not match the man's life.
Exactly, yeah. And once again, it's your opinion, I get it, but there's also that limitation where it turns into hate speech still. Celebrating that this guy has passed away is really irrehensible. It is really, really
It is, and we still need to protect the First Amendment, but with that same First Amendment, I will call that cowardly, swinish behavior.
Yeah.
And I'll use my free speech to say that.
Last thing I will say, too, is there was a lot of information about the shooter. Once again, I did not want to know his name, or I didn't want to know his background. But there were a few different informations that did catch my eye about the person for sure. Number one was what was going on was there was so much misinformation from the news. Oh, we have the guy. No, we don't have the guy. We have this person. No, we don't have this person. That made me kind of feel very panicked in the situation that we weren't prepared for that part either. But eventually, apparently, we do have the person of interest in custody right now. There was information about him having a transgender roommate, having transgender inscriptions on his magazine.
I believe that has been confirmed.
Yes. Also anti-Semitic comments on his magazine as well.
Doesn't surprise me. There's always anti-Semitism in these things.
Yes, always. And I think he also wrote a note too of some sort, again, blaming this on mistreatment of transgenders and stuff like that. Again, there is no excuse to this whole situation. It was a horrible, horrible situation. We literally had Charlie Kirk in the studio where you're sitting at right now for his nationally syndicated show one time because he came to San Diego State campus to do his Turning Point tour over here. So
did you get to meet him yourself?
I did not get to meet him. No, unfortunately not during that time. But many, many coworkers have. I did talk to a few coworkers the day that this happened too, and they just stated that the whole office in this entire building was just silent. Not a person talked to each other. Everyone just kind of worked in silence and shocked. I was surprised that we didn't do our local show to give our local perspective on the situation because the headquarters at Salem Network said, no, we're going to bring all the national hosts together and they're going to talk about their reactions and stuff, which is fair enough. Mike Gallagher had some really poignant words about the situation. Hugh Hewitt too. So there's a lot of information still spilling out about this situation. Up next, I'm going to be talking about some of the people's reactions that happened both on an internet prowess and of course, mainstream media prowess. Us too. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll get into that information.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes. What's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, joined by my producer, Brendan Thomas.
So after the Charlie Kirk assassination, there was a lot of reactions that happened during this time. From my perspective, I don't know how your perspective was on seeing the early reactions from people. I would say 70% of the reactions were, so sorry for this loss, this is horrible. And then there was 30% that was just extreme hatred and honestly, just terrible to see. Just in general, terrible to see. So I took screenshots of at least four different comments I saw just at the time of his assassination. Very first comment I got off of the TMZ Facebook page, and this is not TMZ, mind you. This was just a commenter under there saying that, man, where was the sharpshooter when it was Trump's outdoor event that happened? That's a terrible thing to say alone. Another one we had was, why did this happen now? Why couldn't it happen even earlier into his life when he was not making a big name for himself? And then one last one was, this person stated two things, and then the third thing is not a very nice thing to say in my opinion, which was, Charlie didn't deserve to be shot or killed. I agree on that. A good thing he did was get college students and the younger generation more invested in politics. Couldn't agree more with that. The third thing, though, his principles he stood on were extremely harmful and hateful, and he spread those ideas to young minds, which inspired them to do this heinous act to himself. So he can only blame himself for this situation.
Yeah, let's blame the victim. And I guarantee you the people that are making these comments either have never really heard him speak in context, or if you asked them to defend their position, what exactly did he say was hateful? Show me the hate. They wouldn't be able to do it.
Exactly. Or again, they'll take certain things he'll say completely out of context and see, you said this in this
part of
the video.
You take someone out of context, you can make them say anything.
Exactly. And then there was also the mainstream media reaction to this whole thing. MSNBC had a reporter named Matthew Dowd who said this.
And he got fired for what he said.
Yeah, here's his comment of what he said at the time.
We don't know any of the full details of this. We don't know if this was a supporter shooting their gun off in celebration or so. We have no idea about this. But following up on what was just said, he's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions.
Terrible thing to say. Absolutely terrible.
And let me just say, the First Amendment protects us from the government interfering with our speech. Mm-hmm. If a news network wants to fire somebody for saying something evil and stupid, they certainly have every right to do that.
Absolutely. And to be fair, MSNBC had no other choice but to fire him for sure. He did later state...
Of course, it doesn't explain all the people that still work for them that haven't been fired.
It's true. Well, that's a separate story.
Yeah, but we digress.
Yes, I digress. So MSNBC stated they apologized for his comments and he was fired immediately from that situation. Matthew Dowd did also put out a public statement saying that he was never trying to intend his words to say he was deserving to die.
Oh, or had the intention to die. Where yeah. would we have gotten that idea?
He did blame, however, right-wing media for firing him, and he says he will not stop his voice from being heard from other platforms, he said, which, if that's what you want, but
of
still.
Of course he's not going to stop his voice. What else would he be doing?
He's still going to be running his voice and yeah. making those stupid comments. I mentioned TMZ. They had a situation occur during this time. So what was happening is they have a live four-hour broadcast in the afternoon of the latest news, and they'll report it to the people. In this case, it was the live report about Charlie Kirk passing away. So during this time, there was actually some cheering that was going on in the background of their offices. So here's the clip of them cheering about, well, allegedly they were cheering about something else, but I want you to just hear the clip first, at least.
Possibly in the next 20 minutes. The news conference is scheduled for 3 o'clock in Utah time, which is 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern. Janet, go to, have somebody look at the Fox. Trump just posted that Charlie Kirk is dead.
So as you heard, there was some cheering going on in the middle of this whole situation.
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah. Now, TMZ did respond to this situation. They stated that this was a car chase that was going on their local television station. And they said, oh, they got the guy. And that's what the people in the background were cheering on. But for more information on this, this was their actual response to the whole thing. This is about 1 minute long. So here we go.
As we were reporting the assassination of Charlie Kirk, there were some people in the back room away from our news desk here who were watching a car chase, and they were laughing, they were clapping, and you could hear it out here. And we want to make a couple of things clear. One is that I know these people, and they were not laughing, they were not reacting that way about Charlie Kirk's assassination. They were not. They would not work here if they did. And that being said, we acknowledge that it was horrible timing. And for that, we are sorry. We apologize. We apologize that you had to hear that. And I get why, if you're watching the stream, you may have felt that that's what the laughter was about. We assure you, it was not about that, but it was horrible timing.
So
I hope they're telling the truth. That's all I can say. It's hard to know.
I have some bad news, unfortunately. It was not true, unfortunately.
How did you find that out?
A YouTuber later did some research. They saw the time of when the reactions were going on versus the actual car chase that was on their local television station.
And it didn't match up?
Nope. It was a half hour pass. And so...
Wait. A half hour since the car chase?
Correct.
Could they have been watching a replay of it?
No. In this case, they said it was a live video feed. That's okay. What TMZ all reported right.
Well,
about.
There you
so go. That was not true, unfortunately, too.
Nice try, guys.
Yeah. And again, I know these people. Oh, I have a personal relationship with each and every one of them. They would not work here. No, that's not true.
These are people who stand for climate change. There's no way they could have said something like that.
So, again, you pointed it out in your monologue, too, that there was a mix of reactions about the passing, too, from political figures to celebrities to comedians who
Well, a lot of political
really
figures will condemn the violence, but they won't condemn the words they've used for years that would inspire that kind of violence.
Yeah. One last thing I do want to mention for the reactions was, did you see the House of Representatives that day?
I did, and that was absolutely disgusting when they wouldn't even have a word of prayer for him, mostly from the Democratic side of the aisle. I'm sure that wasn't true of every Democrat, but it sure looked that way.
Did you
TV.
Happen to hear very closely? Because I know the microphone was kind of faint because the person that was yelling was pretty far away from the microphone. But the Democratic politician said, why, he doesn't deserve that. Is what they were shouting out.
Who was it that said that?
They weren't able to find out who his voice was.
I heard Ilhan Omar's comments. Now, they were at a separate time, and they were just absolutely as vile. And, you know, well, she's just been an avid anti-Semite for years, so of course she isn't going to like Charlie Kirk with all of his defenses of Israel.
Right. And if I could just make one thing, too. This was during the moment of silence for the situation when they allowed the representative from Colorado to say out loud, let's do the prayer situation there. So I was surprised that they quickly allowed her to ask that kind of thing very, very quickly as soon as the moment of silence happened. I thought they would have transitioned something very quickly, and then they would allow her to make the comment of having a prayer circle, or a prayer of word, I should say, for that matter. But nevertheless, I couldn't agree that it was very, very rude of the Democrats. But keep in mind, these are the same people that wouldn't stand up for a cancer survivor, mind you. So,
or for women that were murdered because they were murdered by illegal immigrants, and that goes against their narrative.
Right, exactly.
So there are dreamers.
They're already heinous people anyway, so it's already a done deal anyways for them. All right, so when we come back, I actually wanted to play a few best of clips of Charlie Kirk's career.
That would be great.
So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, "What?" By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. As so many other programs are doing across the country, we are honoring Charlie Kirk this evening. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Thank you very much. Just a heads up, tomorrow's Charlie Kirk Show here on The Answer San Diego is actually going to be J.D. Vance hosting his show, actually, of all people.
Oh, so, that'll be something.
Yeah, he was one of the people that was carrying his grave.
Yes,
I should say his casket to the plane there. So, and I know he had a really close relationship with Charlie Kirk himself. So I'll be definitely tuning in to make sure I hear it. And if not, I'll definitely be listening for a podcast for it. So this segment, I wanted to play a few of my favorite clips from Charlie Kirk, and feel free to respond to any of them because I will respond to them as soon as her clip is done. Starting off with number 5 of my favorite clips, Bob's not going to be able to respond to this one too much because this is a sports one of all things.
Oh.
He never really talked about sports that often, but with college students, they brought up this question here.
LeBron or Jordan, greatest of all time?
Yeah, Jordan, not even close.
For real?
100%. I could prove
it. Break it down.
How many finals has LeBron lost?
5.
How many finals did MJ lose?
0. LeBron's a better shooter, better passer, better teammate, better scorer.
Better teammate? He's not a better teammate.
He's a better team. He makes bums play good, bro.
Michael Jordan made everybody around him better. When it's all said and done, why did LeBron want to wear MJ's numbers so bad if he was truly the GOAT?
Because he was the GOAT before him.
Oh, okay.
Before him.
I believe the greatest is the one who's never lost a final, the one who redefined the sport. He redefined the sport. He brought the National Basketball Association.
That was doubled and tripled in popularity. That was Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. No.
But let me ask you, how do you define greatness?
Greatness is impact, is influence.
You think LeBron has had more influence than Michael Jordan?
Yes.
I couldn't disagree more. It just must be a generational thing.
So I'm actually on the side of the student here. I think LeBron's better than Michael Jordan in terms of the influence of the game. I think more players play because of LeBron James.
But I think Charlie Kirk is using a brilliant strategy. If he can get people to have a friendly debate about sports, he's identifying himself as a normal, ordinary guy, friendly, approachable. And then people will be willing to talk to him about other issues, perhaps issues more important.
Yes, yeah, of course. And I do want to give a shout out to the college student who asked this question, because not 100% of the time, he's getting political questions. Here's a guy who just said, hey, here's a sports question for you out of the blue. So
I think it's great to break it up with stuff like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So I do want to give a shout out to that. But again, my opinion on that matter, LeBron's a little bit better. But by his argument too, Bill Russell should be the MVP because he has 11 championships, but he didn't bring the popularity like Michael Jordan did to the game of basketball for sure. So, but that's just my opinion on the matter. Coming in at number four, here's this clip.
I'm a black woman, and I believe that white privilege exists.
What privilege do I have that you don't have that is based on skin color, not on wealth or socioeconomic status?
The fact that you are sitting here with like little to no education trying to talk to people about white privilege is white privilege.
You've served our country, and you have lived a life of a victor, and you have the gumption to tell me you're a victim without evidence. We're not able to cite one thing that you cannot do that I can do. If you make good choices, you will get those choices rewarded. You brought zero evidence except an argument from an authority and an insult to my lack of a college degree, of which I am so proud of, because I'm not indoctrinated because I didn't go to college. Thank you very much.
Yes, exactly. So once again, we're pointing out the fact that it has nothing to do with skin tone or anything. The person was quickly to say, well, you don't have a college degree, so you don't have any room to speak. No, you have any room to speak still in this country.
Well, she was trying to say it was his white privilege that enabled them to speak without a college degree.
Right.
But she hasn't graduated college yet if she's a college student, and she's speaking. She was invited up there to speak with him.
Right, exactly. So therefore, if she doesn't have the college degree, why is she speaking to him too?
By the way, bravo to him. As one who's been to college, most of the information that I use with apologetics comes from self-education, even though I have the degree. So I have no problem whatsoever that Charlie Kirk chose not to go to college. Good for him. He was probably bored to death there.
That's true. I'm going to skip number three for now because we are running close to time. So I think I played this clip before, but this makes me feel very, very happy if politicians can listen to him and his words about the home crisis for this generation, how expensive it is to live here. So please listen to this.
What policy do you support to make it easier for young people to buy homes?
Get rid of BlackRock purchasing a bunch of homes and renting them back to us?
Okay, so like seize their assets?
Seize their assets. Make it illegal that asset managers over $500 billion can't buy single family homes.
Okay, I really agree with that. That's great.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a super simple policy fix. If you have assets under management over $500 billion or $100 billion, you should not be in the single-family home business, period.
Okay.
And that's artificially boosting housing prices across the country. I believe homeownership is a moral good for all humans.
That last line is so, so perfect. Believing it's a moral good to have a home here in America. It's perfect. And again, his ideas were so ahead of their time too. And I'm hoping that politicians will use his ideas and bring him into future generations here shortly.
He will be remembered as a hero in the annals of history.
Absolutely. And the last one is a very, very important clip. Just to explain, why does he do these visits to college campuses and talk with people? This clip here exemplifies Charlie Kirk.
I go around universities and have challenging conversations, and because that's what is so important to our country, is to find our disagreements respectfully, because when people stop talking, that's when violence happens.
I've never seen someone do this.
Well, it's a growing trend because people like me are facing violence, assault, the left. Yes, the campus Antifa. I've been stormed out of restaurants. I've been assaulted publicly, multiple death threats.
Okay, so what's your goal in?
There's more people that agree with me than some people would actually believe, and they come out of the woodwork when I do stuff like this. We record all of it so that we put it on the internet so people can see these ideas collide. When people stop talking, that's when you get violence. That's when civil war happens, because you start to think the other side is so evil and they lose their humanity.
perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
It's perfect. When people stop talking, that's when violence happens. Perfect quote.
Yes, absolutely. So again, to the families and friends of Charlie Kirk, our condolences over here, not only on the Bob Siegel Show, but all of us that listen to the show too. Our condolences to you guys. And again, politicians, now it's time for more than words. Now it's time for actions. Let's see what you can do. I don't have hopes.
Politicians, I'm not holding my breath.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for this time tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brendan.